brand new series of lessons. And, you know, I figured, you know, we're going on vacation. It was only 3 weeks before the next meeting. And I figured, boy, that's going to be a long time to get this lesson together. That'll be great. For 2 weeks, I did nothing, you know.
Yep.
Didn't feel any particular meeting for any kind of a lesson. But this last week, it started to come together, I think. So this first lesson, we're going to be talking about the next few weeks, I don't know how long, about walking in love. You know, now, for all you macho guys in here, don't think, oh, walking in love, you know. I mean, how important can that be? It's pretty important. And this is probably the biggest thing the Lord had to pound into my head when I became a Christian, is this whole idea of operating in the God kind of love. And it didn't come natural to this Irishman, believe me. Marianne can vouch for that. And so I've chosen to call this first lesson in this series, The Great Quest. And the reason I call it that is because if you have an Amplified Bible, in 1 Corinthians 14:1, after the whole chapter on 1 Corinthians 13 is called the what chapter?
Okay.
The love chapter. After that whole chapter, 1 Corinthians 14:1, the first chapter, first verse of the next chapter says, eagerly pursue and seek to acquire this love. Make it your aim, your great quest. In other words, the main thing in life. And so I've chosen to call this lesson The Great Quest. All right, let's just talk about this. First of all, why is love so important to God? Why do you think it is? So let's just look up some scriptures and find out. Turn to Matthew chapter 22, and we'll just let the Bible answer these questions for us. We'll be jumping around a bit tonight, as we usually do. And what I'd like to do is start off here and let some of you people read some of these scriptures. Let's start a little different tonight. Let's start in the back and start in verse 22:36. And Steve, would you like to open up here and read verses 36 through 40, if you do that, in Matthew chapter 22. And just really listen up to what Steve's going to tell us here.
I forgot my glasses on.
Okay. If you'd rather have someone else read, that's fine too.
I have some looking glasses, I think.
Or let him do it. He can do it.
I think I might read. 36 through 40.
We may get a miracle here. Let him.
Yeah.
36 through 40.
Master, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.
Thank you, Steve. Now listen to what this man said to Jesus. This guy came up and he wanted to cut right to the chase. And he says, let's get right serious here. What is the greatest thing I have to consider if I want to obey the law? That's basically it. What is the greatest commandment in the law? Now, the law is what? The law was all that stuff those guys, the people in the Old Testament had to do. There was all kinds of things in that law. The Ten Commandments was part of the law. But there were various other ordinances. There's various ways of washing and all kinds of things were in the law. So this guy has heard all this stuff, obviously, and he's saying, what's the greatest thing? Now, I could just see this guy. I mean, all this stuff we have to do, Master, you seem to know what you're talking about. What's the thing that we really need to be concerned about? And Jesus really answered that question quite well for him. He didn't go back and say, well, now, I can't just single out one thing here. He did. He singled out one or two things. One thing, really. Applied two different ways. He said, this is the great commandment. He says, what's the greatest one? Jesus said, you shall love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, as Steve said. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So this is it. Jesus answered his question. It's love. Now, so why is love so important? First of all, it's a what? Is it it's a what?
Commandment.
A commandment. It isn't just a suggestion. It isn't my recommendation. It isn't a good idea. Jesus said it was a commandment. That's pretty strong. I mean, you know, even in today's English, we can understand the word commandment means there's no way you can get out of this. This is the bottom line. And he said that what you need to do, as far as us interacting with the other people on this earth that we live, he said that we need to love our neighbor as ourselves. Now, that was what was in the law. Nobody had ever done it. But that's what the law said. Now, this is in Jesus' ministry. Now, remember the guy asked the question, what is the greatest commandment in what? In the law. And that's what the greatest commandment was. Now turn to John 13, 34, and Jesus gives us another commandment. Not a new commandment, but yet it sounds the same. John chapter 13. And Sydney, would you read verse 34 and 35.
So now I am giving you the new commandment, love each other just as I have loved you, and you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples.
Okay, now let me just summarize what Sydney just read. Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. Well, so far that doesn't sound too new, does it? Because wasn't that always in the law? But yet he did go on and give something new. He said, I give a new commandment that you love one another as I have loved you. Now remember the commandment under the law said, we shall love our neighbor as ourselves. That means, you know, I'm going to treat you as good as I treat myself. Well, what happens when Jesus said, I'm giving you a new commandment that you love one another as I have loved you? How did Jesus love us?
He gave his life for us.
He put us first, didn't he? So that's a new commandment. Now, under the law, nobody was able to keep that commandment. Jesus ups the ante now. That hardly seems fair, does it? But yet, later on in the lesson, we're going to find out why he did it and why he could do it, and why it's even easier to obey the new commandment than it was the old one. But not yet. We'll go find out that later. But I just want to highlight the fact that there was an old commandment under the law that you love one another as, you know, love the neighbor as yourself. That was the commandment under the law. Now Jesus, right before he goes and is crucified, this is at the Last Supper, right in this last day he's alive, says, I'm going to give you a new commandment that you love one another as I have loved you. And that is putting the other person first. All right? But you can't do that. Nobody's ever kept the old commandment, let alone this new commandment. But it's easier. And I'll tell you why later. But I just want to point out now that we have a commandment to love. If you read these other scriptures I have here, John 14, 15, and 15, 12, you find out that by this love, Jesus tells whether we love him, whether we do this or not. He says, if you love me, you'll keep this commandment. And if you're my friend, you'll do this. He says, he that doesn't keep this commandment doesn't love me. Now, I'm not going to read all that, but this is for your own reference, for your homework. All right, I just want to point out right now that why is love so important? Number one, it's a commandment. All right, number two, turn to Romans chapter 13, and we'll find out that love, loving one another, loving your neighbor, fulfills the law. Romans 13, 8 through 10. Let's have Matt Hall read that. And just read slowly, Matt, and loudly so that we can pick you up.
Owe no one anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandment, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet, and as with any other commandments are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law.
Okay, in your own words, somebody, what does this say? What is he saying? Matt, you want to make a stab at it? No? He's saying love, and if you do love, what does it do?
You all these nasty things.
Yeah. Right. I mean, it fulfills everything that was in the law. All the thou shalt nots. Thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not lie, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's goods, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, thou shalt not kill. All those things that were in the law, in the Ten Commandments, it says here, are summed up in this new commandment to love your neighbor. He said, if you do that, you fulfill the law. Now, everybody get this? It's kind of important. You know, you can look then, you know, I don't want to get into this and spend much time on it, but you wonder, you know, all this fuss they've had lately in the news about the Ten Commandments being taken down out of this building down in Alabama somewhere, and the fuss and people resigning and protesting and all that. Really, that law has been, Jesus has given us a new commandment. You know, I think what they ought to do is go in there and just put up a sign, love one another. I don't think anybody would argue with that. It'd be the commandment that we have now anyway, you know, because all the old commandment is fulfilled in this new commandment. So people say, you know, well, does that mean we don't have to keep the Ten Commandments anymore? If you walk in love, you all automatically fulfill the Ten Commandments. You see what Jesus is saying? Okay. So, number two, why is love so important? If we love, we fulfill all the law. All right? Now, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. There's another reason why love is important. Karen Wolf, would you like to read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1, 2, and 3.
If I speak in tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, and I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal, if I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all the mysteries and all the knowledge, and if I have faith that I can move mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. And if I give all the I possess to the poor, and I surrender my body to the flames, but I have not love, I gain nothing.
So what is this saying to us here? Think about it for a second. What's important to God?
Love.
Loving one another, isn't it? And he's saying here, you know, this is not the way we think about it, is it really? We wouldn't think that, gee, you know, if I had enough faith, I could move mountains. That's pretty special. I must be something. So you can have that kind of faith and do that, but if you don't have love, it says, I am nothing. Here's one. If I give everything I own to feed the poor and don't do it in love, it profits me nothing. Now, here's a problem we have today. We hear that we're supposed to give. You cannot give God, you know, and that's true. I mean, we need to tithe and give. Give and you shall receive. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give unto you if you give. However, there's more than just giving involved in receiving from the Lord. It says here, even if we give everything that we have to feed the poor, and if we don't do it in love, it profits us nothing. If our motive is just to receive back, and we don't have a heart for the person or the we're giving it to, it doesn't do us any good. And I'll get the next one here. If I give my body to be burned, that's a lot, isn't it? And have not love, it profits me nothing. Now, I never really understood that before, to tell you the truth, until 9/11, 2 years ago. You know, think about that. You know, I thought, if you give your body to be burned, I mean, you know, for the Lord, it would profit you nothing? You'd be a martyr? Hey, look at all those guys. These guys flew their airplanes into the World Trade Center for their God, they thought. Do you think that profited anything? Do you think it was done in love? No. They killed a bunch of innocent people. They were hoodwinked by Satan into thinking they were doing it for their God, and it profited them nothing if you don't do it in love. See the difference between Christianity and these other so-called religions? Is they're doing things right. If they were walking in love, if they had the God kind of love in their heart, they never would have done it. So there's another reason, you know, we need why love is important. Without love, I am nothing, and my life will profit me or amount to nothing in spiritual terms and eternal terms without love. All right, I don't want to take too much time. I'm just going to quote a couple of things here. It says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. But if you look here at 1 Corinthians 13:13 now, look at that verse.
So faith, hope, love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love.
Right. Read that one more time.
So faith, hope, love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love.
Is faith great?
Yes.
Is it important to God?
Yes.
Yes.
In fact, it says without faith, it's what?
Impossible,
impossible to please God. Yet love is greater than faith in God's eyes. Okay, so I think we made our point. Love is very important. Now, what is love? You ever think about that? I thought about that this week. Actually, there's three words in Greek that I found for love. Now, we only have one in our language, love, love, love. I mean, you love, you love. I mean, we have the same word for three different kinds of love. In Greek, they have three different words depending on how you want to use the word. There's one word called eros, eros, which means a physical love, and we get our word erotic from that, the English word erotic. We all know what that means. That's more of a physical, passionate type of love. There's phileo, which is a love of family and friends, or brotherly love. As a matter of fact, what is the city of brotherly love?
Philadelphia.
And where do you think that name came from? Phileo. The city of brotherly love. It's the love of family and friends. And there's a third kind of love. Now, this is interesting. I was reading about this on my vacation. It's called agape love. Another word for agape love is the God kind of love, or the love of God. Now, here's something kind of interesting. The word agape was never used, it's a Greek word, in Greek literature until the time of Jesus. You can't find it. I read this in a book. I didn't know that. In other words, when Jesus came, he introduced a new type of love, the love of God. And after that, the Bible started using it, and other people started using it, to distinguish this divine love from physical love, brotherly love. Agape love, the kind of love that 1 Corinthians 13 talks about, every time it's used in 1 Corinthians 13, it's agape love. It's the love of God. Now think about this for a second. Agape love is the love of God. Now, it doesn't just mean the love of God for a thing. It's God is love, okay? Did you ever read that about 1 John 4:8? It says, God is love. Agape love is the kind of love that God is. It only comes from God. Now, without God, there is no agape love. Isn't that interesting? Without God in your heart, and we'll get into this more lately, you cannot act in agape love because it is the God kind of love, and it only comes from God.
I've heard that word so many times,
mm-hmm. But
I just never knew what it meant.
It's the divine love of God, the God kind of love, the kind of love that gives. For God so loved the world that he gave. That's agape love. That kind of love gives. Now, a lot of people say the opposite of love is hate. But really, the opposite of agape love is
apathy.
Apathy? That's an interesting. Not doing anything. That's good. I like that. What else could it be? Apathy or me? Selfishness. God so loved the world, he gave. You don't have agape love, you don't want to give. You want to hold everything to yourself. Without this helped me so much when I became a new Christian to understand that the love of God comes in the package when you become a Christian. I'm getting a little ahead of myself here. But that's the secret about agape love. Yes, Steve.
Was agape in the Greek language and not being used, or did they coin it at that time?
They coined it. That's just what the book I read said. They coined, that term was coined after Jesus' sermons and all of that. They could see that the words that they had for love weren't expressed. Yeah. And you can't find it in Greek literature up to that point. But after the way Jesus talked about love and all this kind of love, they coined a new term for this kind of love, which is agape love. It's the God kind of love, the kind of love that God is. Now, here's something else about love. John 3:16, we just said how God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God so loved, he gave. Here's something about love. Love demands action. Agape love demands action. There is no such thing as a passive agape love. You can have passive brotherly love. Yeah, I love, you know, my relatives or that guy. I mean, you're not saying, yeah, that good guy, I love him, he's a good guy, I like him. But it doesn't demand action. Agape love demands giving of oneself. That's what that love is. Love, basically, then the definition of agape love is God in action. You say, well, how can we act in agape love? It's God in action through you to the other person. Because what's interesting about the Christian is every one of us in this room has what living inside his spirit?
Holy Spirit.
God himself lives in you. That's the why you can love with agape love. Without that, you can't. The world can't. That's why the world wastes so much time. You hear people say all the time, you know, and all the peacemakers and all that are always saying, why can't we all get along? Why there's wars? Let's just peace, you know, brother. You know, folks, there's never going to be any peace in this world because we got a mad dog running loose in this world, and he's called Satan. And until you get the love of God in your heart, you can't act in agape love.
That's right.
It's impossible. No one ever did it up to the time of Jesus. No one ever kept the law, did they?
No.
Now, if they could have, they could have gotten to heaven another way. But nobody, for all sinned and come short of the glory of God, all broke the law. And they had no choice because they couldn't keep it with this nature of spiritual death that they had. But, so love is God in action. And since God is love, since God equals love, you can say it this way too. God is love in action. Either way. God is love in action. Now that's the way you can tell what is of the enemy and what's of God. God is love in action. God doesn't bring sickness. God doesn't bring disease. God doesn't bring death. He is life himself. He is life and light. Jesus said, I have come. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it even more abundantly. And Acts 10:38 says that God the Father anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost with power, and then Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil. So we see that love is God in action, God is love in action. A lot of people, even Christians, are confused about this. They've got God signed up doing some stuff that he never did or never will do. The enemy's brought that in. But Jesus made it very clear. Remember the woman that was bowed over, couldn't straighten herself up, lo, these 18 years, Jesus said, whom Satan has bound these 18 years. See? It's very clear. So that's what love is. Now, here's the secret. This is my favorite part of this lesson. The secret about agape love. This is the thing, as a Christian, that I learned that helped me more than anything else. Because the first thing that God ever said to me in my whole life as a new Christian, the first time I ever heard God speak to me, he said this. He said, go apologize. Say you're sorry to Marianne. After I got saved, the most important thing with God was getting something straightened out between us two. You know, to be honest with you, I was so screwed up, I didn't even know what I was apologizing for. I woke her up in the middle of the night after God spoke to me, and I said, honey, she says, what? And I said, I want to apologize. And she says, what for? And I said, honey, I don't even know. All I know is I heard God speak to me, and he says to say I'm sorry to you. And she says, you're serious about this, aren't you? And I said, yes, I am. And so she began to tell me all the things I had to be sorry about. Then I was sorry I brought it up. This went on for about 5 hours, and the sun was coming up when we finished holding on to each other and crying. But God knew that the thing that needed to straighten our marriage out after I got saved was for me to go to Marianne and say I was sorry. The first thing God wanted me to do was do something in love. And you know what? I couldn't have done that before.
You didn't even realize it was necessary to do, and I didn't even realize it could be done. Because you can't change your husband. You can't change your wife. But God can. I mean, when I asked him that question, I knew when he said, God told me to do it, I thought, okay, we're into heavy stuff here. And I need to let him know the things that make me not really love him and not really like him.
And so we just, you know, how many times have you talked to someone or thought about someone, if they just get down and talk to each other, it really isn't going to happen without God getting in the way. You try and try and try, but then God gets in there and stirs it around. That's what you can do.
This is really important to God. I mean, this can keep your healing from coming. This can keep your job from being as successful as you want it to be. These things are blockages in our lives. Love, forgiveness, all these things. Anger, wrath, malice. Malice is wishing the worst towards somebody else. Envy. All those things that we'll talk about in coming lessons, all those things are blocks. You say, well, I wonder why God isn't answering this prayer. Hello? This is the first place I would check. You know, when I found out that the Word of God said that by Jesus' stripes I was healed, that Jesus took my infirmities and he bore my sickness, I felt that I had something good there, and I did. Whenever I would get sick then and my prayer didn't work, I'd say, God, I know what your Word says here, and I know it's true. Where did I miss it? And folks, I'm telling you this. If you really get serious with God and you want to know where you missed something, God's not going to just hold back and say, let's don't tell him. Let's just let him stumble around. He wants you to know. And lovingly, he will show you if you're serious about it. And he showed me. And you know what? Almost every single time, it was some person that I had reacted in another loving way to. Now, God wasn't punishing me, but it was what I had done by doing that. I had removed myself from his umbrella protection. For 1 John 5:18 says, if I'll keep myself from sin, the wicked one touches me not. But when you do sin, you get out in an area there where the enemy can get at you. So you break fellowship with your Father. He's not doing anything to you, but you really open up yourself to attacks of the enemy. And so the first thing God wanted me to do when I got saved was get things straightened out with Marianne. And we did. And from that day forward, our marriage was a brand new ball game. Wasn't it, honey?
Well, it was a tremendous witness to me because I was watching him because I became Catholic to Marianne. Then he went off and did a few wacky things like get saved and speak in tongues. And I thought, okay, I'm going to be on this last. Then when he came in and really laid himself open and he took it, I married him because he was very strong and very clear and concise and my father wasn't. And then I had a tiger by the tail. I didn't know how to handle it, you know. So he had to give me space emotionally. And when he did that, then I thought, okay, if God can make him give me space emotionally, etc., then I think this may be for real. So I really began to pay attention, which ended up getting me saved. So I guess that's what it is. You know, you may be the only bit of Bible your friends ever see.
And he went on from there. I mean, I could tell you more examples of little things in our marriage. And what he taught us after a while was, is as soon as there's any strife at all, I mean, folks, I'm listening. This is so important. Just a little sharp word. You know, we get used to that kind of stuff, and that's not good. A little sharp word. God got, no, 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 no. You go get that straightened out with Marianne right now. Just saying something like, you know, she says something to me, whatever. You know, get it straightened out. That's not right. You shouldn't do that. Because, you know what? Those words are so powerful. They hang in the air. And if you don't get those things straightened out, they're little inroads, they're little cracks and crevices, and the enemy will work on those things. And some little dumb thing that didn't amount to anything at the first, in a couple of days, seems pretty big. You know, all of a sudden you think, wow, you know. And everybody starts getting mad, and then you start building these little walls around yourself. Yeah, man.
I tell you what, there's times when I do say that I'm short with Danielle. I know right away that I've been short, but I need to get taken care of because I just...
Praise God that you do. Because you know what? If you don't do that, it won't be so clear after a while. Your conscience gets seared. See, your conscience is tender. Keep it that way. You want it that way. You want it so that when you do something like that, it right away you know. But you know what? If you don't respond to that after a while, your conscience gets seared. That's what the Bible talks about in Timothy. And you don't pick up on those things as quick as you used to if you don't respond. The Holy Spirit does. Your spirit will just sort of not be as, after a while, you won't pick up on it. It's not that he's not in there saying, get it straightened out. It's that you don't hear it anymore. So thank God that you can hear that. When you know right away. And you know, what we found out is don't let, you know, eventually you're going to get it straightened out. I don't know many Christians that if they get a situation going in their married life or whatever, kids or whatever, eventually you get it straightened out. Sometimes it's years down the road. Some people never get it straightened out. But if you're going, why not do it right now? Be quick to forgive. Be quick to forget. Be quick to repent. See, because the quicker you are to do that, the less time you spend on the devil's territory. The less time you spend in an area where he can mess up your finances, mess up your health, mess up your kids, mess in your life. You know, you don't want that. You don't want to put yourself in a dangerous position. So, you know, now, I mean, it's never easy. I understand that. It's never easy to go to someone and say, I'm sorry. I was wrong. Please forgive me. There's something about the human body, the human being, that the flesh just doesn't like to admit they're wrong. Even after all these years, I still don't like to do it. But I know some things now that I didn't know before. I know if I don't do it, number one, it's going to mess up stuff between us. Number two, it's going to remove me from the blessings of God. And number three, I'm going to eventually do it anyway. So why not do it right now and get it straightened out? You know? And so we do. Now, let's
have a bad day on top of it, because things can continue.
Yeah. It just, we don't want to do that. This is
I
it.
I don't want him to sound like he's the only one who does it either. I mean, I didn't do it too, believe.
Oh, yeah. I'm just talking from my point of view.
I mean, I'm not trying.
She always comes to me and says things like, now, don't take offense. No, I'm you got to be careful of that, too. You got to be careful that you don't be Mr. Super Christian and go to that person and say, now, you shouldn't be taking offense at this. You know what the Bible says. I let the Lord tell them about that, you know. Now turn to Romans chapter 5. There's one more thing I want to be sure we get to here. This is my favorite scripture. One of my very favorite scriptures in the Bible. We're going to answer the question, why did God give us this new commandment to love if no one but Jesus had ever kept it? And number two, why did he even make it stronger? In other words, it was in the law, and we were supposed to love each other, love our neighbor as ourselves, but then Jesus said, I want you to love one another as I have loved you, which means put the other person first. How can we possibly love with this agape divine love that God is? Well, here's the answer to that question. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. And let's see, it's Karen Mitchell's turn to read.
And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us.
Now listen to this. By not ashamed means does not disappoint us. The hope that we have does not disappoint us because, listen, the love of God, now this is agape love, the kind of love that God is. The love of God, or the God kind of love, listen Christians, is shed abroad in each one of your spirits by the Holy Ghost that lives in your spirit. That Holy Ghost that lives in each one of your spirits is love. Now that's why you can love with the God kind of love. Because you've got it. God gives it to you when you're born again. When you're born again, you receive the kind of love that God is into your spirit. Did you know that? Anybody ever told you that before? You need to know that. Because if you don't know that, you're going to always be saying, well, how can I possibly do these things? All you really have to do is let the God kind of love out. The kind of love that God is out. The Holy Spirit is in your spirits all the time looking for opportunities to love the other person in your lives that you run into. Always. He wants to do that. There's never a time that the Holy Spirit indwells your spirit saying, be nasty to that person. Just be a little cool to that person. Just don't invite that person and show them how you feel about the situation that came up. You know, the Holy Spirit never is that way. The Holy Spirit, you know that. I'm just creating a fictitious situation to show you how he does act. The Holy Spirit is always looking for opportunities to show love to the other person. Now, why don't we do it more? Because the flesh, we react from the flesh first. The flesh doesn't want to do this. The flesh wants to do whatever makes it feel good. See, we're a three-part being, you know. We're spirit. We have a soul. We live in a body. Okay? Spirit, soul, and body are not the same things. I think most of you know that. The spirit man is supposed to dominate the Christian. Unfortunately, before we become Christians, we live in this world where the senses are running rampant, and we're used to responding from our senses. You know, you see the bumper sticker, you know, I don't get mad, I get even, you know, and all that kind of stuff. We're used to the TV programs and all that, where revenge and I don't know, I go into the fitness center and run on their treadmill once in a while, and I listen to my own tapes, but you see on the TV there these soap operas and stuff, and everybody's always frowning and looks like they're saying something mean to somebody else, and they're all frowning and stomping out of the room and all this stuff. And if you see enough of that junk, you think that's the way things are, I guess. But no, you have, as Christians, a unique thing inside of each one of you. You have the spirit of love in your spirit. And he's waiting for opportunities for you to let him out. Do you know what the Holy Spirit won't do? He won't overrule your flesh. He waits for you to put your flesh down and let him loose into someone else's life. That's what he does. Now, you need to understand, if you get nothing else tonight, understand the secret of agape love. And that is that you have, as a Christian, this love in you now. Okay? It's a special kind of love. It's the kind of love that God is. And it's in you. And if you don't have God inside of you, you don't have this kind of love. That's why it's so futile for everybody to go around and say, peace, not war. Let's all just get along. That's never going to happen. Because you've got to get people changed. If you really want to change the world, not have war, go witness to people. Get them born again. Get that God kind of love in their spirits so they can start responding from their spirits. But you're never going to be able to teach someone who Satan is their father to love. I mean, that's just never going to happen. It's never going to happen. That's why this whole terrorist situation and this Jewish-Palestinian mess is never going to get any better unless you can get those people born again over there and get the love of God in them. That's another thing about love. Love takes no account of a suffered wrong. That's a toughie. But did Jesus take account? Did he start just beating his fist against the table and saying to Pilate, you got the wrong guy here. All I've done is go around and try to teach people what the Bible says and do everything right, work miracles, heal people, and now you're all on my back. What's going on? And nobody understood him. They never are going to understand him. But that's okay. I mean, after you begin to understand how this love works, you don't look so much for rewards in this world or from people. God will reward you. Next week I want to talk about something. Did you know that the Word says that love is the key to joy? You like joy in your life? You like peace in your life? Love's the key. You walk in love, who cares if the rest of the world misunderstands you? Doesn't matter. If you've got the joy of God in your heart, if you've got the peace of God in your heart, do I really care if someone thinks I've done some horrible thing? If I know that God knows the truth? I mean, if they ask me a question, I'll say, no, I didn't do that. But I'll leave it with that, hopefully, and not demand my rights. I want my rights. You know, we got the whole world demanding the rights now. Jesus never demanded his rights. He said, resist not evil. Turn the other cheek. Now, this is going to be interesting in the next couple of weeks. Did you ever find out that when you really get in the middle of a big trial, that if you didn't do anything yourself to cause this thing, if you've done, as far as you know, what God asked you to do, you can have joy in the midst of the trial. God's presence just seems more real sometimes. In a way, severe trials kind of neat in a way, because God just comes real close, it seems like. You open the Bible and he speaks to you. You sit in your quiet time with the Lord and he just puts his arms around you. I wouldn't trade that for anything. I'd take a little trial for that once in a while. I mean, that's pretty special when God just comes in there and says, it's all right, son. I understand. And that's what's important. Is that important to you, son, that I understand? Yeah, that's real important. I do. Don't worry about them. You know, I'll worry about them. Don't you worry about what they said. Don't you worry about what's going on. But I'll tell you one thing. If you don't spend time with the Lord, you're never going to experience this situation. Okay, so I just want you to know it's the nature of a Christian to love. Jesus said, by this shall all men know you're my disciples, by love. It's the first sign we've been born again. We know we've passed from death into life, the word says, because we love the brethren. That's how we know we're born again. It's also the first fruit of the born-again, recreated human spirit. And the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace. It's the first fruit that comes into your life. So you have it. I just want to point out, this love is a person that lives within each one of you here and waits for love opportunities. He's in there right now. Remember when Timothy says, I have not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and love. You have a spirit of love living in your spirit right now to love the other person. And don't expect non-Christians to walk in this love, because Jesus said to the Jews in John 5:42, you have not the love of God in you. See, if someone doesn't have the love of God shed abroad in their heart through getting born again, they can't act with the love of God. Do you understand that?
Sure.
We can't expect the world to act with the kind of love that God is. Because, you know, it'd be like me asking you, you know, Matt, can I have $50? What if you don't have $50, Matt? What would you have to say?
You
can't give it to me. Matt, would you love me with agape love? If he doesn't have it, he can't give it to me. If I ask a non-born-again Christian, if I expect agape love from them, they can't give it to me because they don't have it. You understand what I'm saying? But you have it. If you're born again, the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart. And each one of us here needs to let that love out more and to put the clamps on the flesh. When that flesh wants to retaliate, you need to say to yourself, no flesh, I'm not going to do that. The Word of God says love takes no account of a suffered wrong. It says love suffers long and is kind. It says love forgives. God says be, here's what he says to Christians. It just came to my mind. Ephesians 4:32 says this. Jesus, the Word of God tells us, Christians, be kind one to another. Isn't it odd that God would have to tell Christians to be kind to one another? But it says, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. There'd be a good memory verse for everybody this week. Ephesians 4:32. Yeah.
Really easy to grieve the Holy Spirit in that area, though.
It's exactly what it says right above that verse. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. And then he tells you how not to grieve him. Did you know that? It's the verse right above it. It says, grieve not the Spirit of God, but be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. We're supposed to forgive one another even as God would forgive. There's no room in a Christian's life for unforgiveness. It is the most dangerous thing in the world. It is the most dangerous form of not walking in love there is. I had a guy in a class one time I was teaching, and he says, I have somebody, I'll never will forgive them. They did this to me and they did that to me, and I'll tell you right now, I said, are you a Christian? He says, yeah. He says, but I'll never forgive them. And I thought to myself, he's in for a tough life of all kinds of sickness, all kinds of stuff. What was the first thing that Jesus said when he told us how to pray? In Mark 11:24, we all know this verse. Jesus said, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive. Your prayer isn't going to work. Get it straightened out. Another verse, in I think it's in Matthew 5, God says, when you come to the altar to offer thy gift, if you there remember that you have aught against your brother, go to your brother, get it straightened out, and then come offer your gift. Now, some people have this thing. They say, well, how do I know if I need to forgive somebody? How do I know if I need to go to that person? Very simple. Jesus tells you right in that verse. He says, if when you go, if you come to me, and there remember, if every time you start to pray to God or pray and something pops up in your mind, you need to get that straightened out. You understand what I'm saying? You know, if the other person doesn't know you've harmed them, don't worry about it. Just confess it to God, you know. If it has, you know. But if they know and you know, then you need to go to that person. Yeah.
One scripture comes to mind is, I think it's 1 John 2:21. If you are,
right. That's just another way of man of saying faith worketh by love. You won't have any faith if you're not walking in love. And like Matt said, you know, if you come before God and you have confidence, you know, say that scripture again, Matt.
If your heart is not condemning you, you have confidence before God.
But if your heart does condemn you, what does that tell you? You won't have that faith or confidence. So when you go to God, you know, and your faith's a little weak and a certain person keeps popping up in your mind, you need to go get that straightened out. I mean, if you're a smart Christian, get it worked. I know it's hard. I mean, it's sometimes the hardest thing to do is to pick up the phone and call somebody and say, you know what, I'm sorry. But boy, it's the best feeling in the world after you do it too. Love covers sin, it says. Love covers up sin. The flesh wants to expose sin. You know, we should be, as Christians, we should be stoppers. When we hear a rumor coming or we hear a bad something about somebody else, we should stop it. We should be the last person it comes to. Because love covers transgressions. Love covers sin. We shouldn't want to amplify it and broadcast it. You understand what I'm saying there? Because it's very, you know, say, well, this is true. It may be true, but as a Christian, cover it up. You know, unless it's really something that has to come out, and then go to the person. You know, another test I heard some guy say one time, and I think it's a good one, he says, don't talk about somebody else unless you'd say it with them present. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if they were present, would it influence you about what you're just about to say? No? Well, then go ahead. But if it's yes, then don't bother with it. I thought that was a pretty good rule. And another thing I heard a guy say one time that was a preacher, he said, you know, and this person was saying, you know, this person did this and this, and they had this affair, and this preacher stopped and said, were you there? Did you see them in bed together? And he says, well, no, but I know it happened. He says, well, then don't talk about it. I mean, you know, that's kind of simplistic, but it gets you the idea that, I mean, you don't know everything is what I'm saying. And we need to be sure that we aren't broadcasters of stuff. Christians should be stoppers of stuff. Love covers a transgression. You know, if you hear something come to you as sinful, just cover it up. You don't have to let it go any further. It may be true. But what's the point of besmirching the person? Maybe they've gotten it straightened out. For all you know, they may have gone to the Lord and said, Lord, I really blew it there. I'm sorry. And here we are, spreading it around. So, you know, these things are different than you're going to see on soap operas. These things are different than you're going to hear in the newspaper. And that's why I think it's important that we get in the Bible and find out what the Bible has to say about some of this stuff. Because faith comes by hearing. And if you just hear stuff on TV, if you just hear stuff that you read in the newspaper, you know what I mean by that. You just let all that stuff come in, and none of this other stuff come. How often do we hear what we're talking about tonight? If we don't hear it once in a while, it's going to sound strange to us. Our faith is not going to be built up in that. So I think that's why God wants us to talk about this a little bit. He has a whole different system under wraps than the world's got out there. And the thing it is, God is a God of love, God of blessing, and He wants all His kids to be blessed. But He sees areas that prevents Him from blessing us to the extent He'd like to. And this one area that we're talking about, love, is one of those areas. I think that's enough for tonight. Do I have any comments or questions before we end it?
The only comment that I have is, if you really like that word, work. As far as I'm concerned, the only work involved in loving is keeping your flesh doing the wrong. Because I just went through something serious. Some of them said something and told me something I didn't do. And I really want, the flesh wanted to just make an ice shield out of them. I mean, and I, like I told Mike, I just kept telling myself, I just apologize.
Sure, I'm not going to take offense. I'm not going to take offense.
You have to. That's the work. And I'm fine. I'm on the other side of it. So is this person. This person's actually come to apologize. I mean, I knew all along, but it was a conscious effort. It was work. Not to
retaliate. Let me just tell you this.
Do it.
One example of love that just came to my mind here. My daughter had an interesting thing happen to her. She had an employee of their company that stole the truck, stole all of his tools, and took their checks and wrote all bad checks, okay? All right. Now, this person that was employed by them, they took on to help them, you know. This person's, go ahead, am I okay? Stole the truck, stole the checks, and stole all the tools that my brother-in-law or son-in-law needed for his business. Then, in an act of love, my daughter and her husband decided that because the man that did this had two teenage boys, that they were having a tough life, and they didn't want to put them, if their father went to jail, then they would be in a mess. So she chose to just go, they finally found the truck, to forget about the tools, and she made good, they made good every check that he wrote, paid, you know, those checks, except for one that they didn't know about. Okay, now they paid all these checks, but one $49 check to Owen Supermarket never got covered. Last week, my daughter came home, her purse was in her car, she went in the house, her purse was stolen out of her car, all her credit cards, everything. She calls the police come out. The police come out, take her to jail, and book her, because she has a bad check.
Okay, so there was a warrant
from 4 years ago. There's a warrant been out for 4 years for her arrest.
They didn't
because of checks that were stolen from her, that she made good all but one that she didn't know about. She is booked, and the next day in the paper, it tells all about her being booked, and all her friends, everybody, all the kids in high school see that their mother's been arrested for writing bad checks. Can you imagine?
She's and crying, all this, and they said, "Do you have any aliases?" And she goes, "Mommy." She didn't even know.
Do you have any other names you're known by? She said, "Mommy." You know, and she went through this.
Lady, you gotta quit crying, or I'll cry. No, I'll
know. Yeah, the sheriff told her that. He says, "Lady, you gotta quit crying, or I'm gonna start crying," because she was just crying.
Well,
crying.
She never had six of her kids with her.
I mean, you know, after trying to do the right thing, then this happens, you know, and all the, but I said, honey, go read 1 Peter chapter 2, where it says in there, you know, that they did this to me, they'll do it to you too. I know the truth. And you reacted in love. And even my son got in trouble when he acted in love a few times. But don't worry about it, I know the truth, and I'll get you through this. Well, she paid the check, and even though she was booked, they worked it out with the DA, and he said they'd forget the whole thing since she wrote the check. But
because she was booked, it was in the newspaper.
Yeah.
And she spent all electricity in her bed under her covers. Good God. And we were on vacation.
So I thought, man, that takes a lot of love to write, you know.
She still didn't contact this person since we got saved.
And never went back to that person or tried to get him in trouble, or said, you know who it was this person, she just took it, and whatever.
Yes, it was, she's out for 3 years, why didn't they serve
she it? She says, Mom, I've been living in the same address 4 years.
They don't serve it.
They don't go down.
For $50 checks, they don't send anybody out. They wait till some other reason they gotta be out there, then they pick you up.
Oh, that's crazy. It's
crazy.
It's crazy. Whatever. Anyway.
So we just introduced the subject tonight, really. Next week we'll get into some nitty gritty things. Okay. That completes the teaching I had for tonight. Let's go on now and take a look at the homework and see how much of the teaching we've retained. Okay, tonight let's go over our homework from last week. Last week we had our first lesson in a new series, which is on love. And I entitled last week's lesson, The Great Quest. And in that lesson last week, I think one of the most important things we learned, at least the thing that impressed me the most in preparing a lesson, was the fact that there is a new kind of love that Jesus introduced to the world. It's called, in the Greek, it's called agape love, or the God kind of love, or the kind of love that God is, because God is love. It never says in the Bible that God is faith or God is hope, but it does say God is love. And the word for that love that God is called agape. And so there's several kinds of love in the Greek. But the thing that we Christians need to know, and we learned last week, is that when we were born again, That agape love was put into our spirits by the Holy Ghost, which indwells us. Romans 5:5 was sort of our key text last week, and it was the love of God, that's the God kind of love, the agape type of love, is shed abroad in our spirit by the Holy Ghost, which dwells in us. See, when that Holy Ghost comes in, everybody here understands that when they're born again, the Holy Spirit comes to indwell their spirit. He brings that love of God with him, and it's in our spirits. Hebrews tells us that that love is now written on our hearts or on our spirits. So that love is in there, all right, this new kind of love. That's the main thing we got across last week. What we have to learn, and we'll be learning in the lessons to come, is how to let that love that God is, that we have in our newly born again, recreated spirits, out. So we can act in love, not just have it inside, but when the crisis of life come, when opportunities come throughout the day that either react in anger or in the flesh, we react in love instead. There's ways to do that. We'll talk about that a little bit tonight. But we need to understand how to let that love of God out. The Bible talks about things like putting off the old man and things, and we'll get into that a little bit later. But the thing I want you to realize tonight before we go over the homework is that love of God, that God is shed abroad in your heart if you're a Christian. Now, the non-Christian doesn't have it. And what you don't have, you can't do. Okay? If you don't have that love, you can't act in that love. The non-Christian is completely incapable of acting in agape love. It's a selfless love. But as Christians, we have it in our spirits, okay? And so let's go now over the homework from last week and discuss a little bit, okay? Now, I've got a bunch, mostly true and false questions this week, so let's go over them, all right? True or false? God gave Christians 10 commandments that they are to obey. True or false?
False.
False. Good for you. I didn't hear a true in the bunch. Not to put a negative thing on most Christians, but, you know, let's face it, most Christians would say true if you go around the church world. But that's not true. So I'm glad that you got that false. What the Bible say? It says that we have a new commandment, right? And that's we what? Love one another. Okay, and the old commandment is fulfilled in the new commandment. Jesus, it tells us in the Word. All right, true or false? No one can act in any kind of love except Christians.
False, isn't
that false? That's false, but good for you. What's the key phrase that makes it false there? Any kind of love, isn't it? There's more than one kind of love. We talked about that last week. But no one can act in agape love instead of Christians. Now, a lot of world would get crazy with that, wouldn't they? I mean, that sounds too rigid, not diverse enough, not inclusive enough. Those are the key words these days. That would disenfranchise a whole group of Muslims and everybody else simply because you Christians think you're exclusive. We are. We're born again. We're the only people in this world that have the God kind of love in our hearts. We're the only ones that had our spirits recreated. We're the only ones that have the Holy Spirit living in our spirits. True or false? They will know we are Christians by our words.
No, false.
False. Why is that false, Chuck?
Oh, boy.
I'm putting you on the spot here.
I knew I had looked up on this.
I'm not mean. How about you, Eunice?
By our love.
By our love. That's what Jesus said in John 13:35. They'll know we are Christians by our love, not by our words. Oh, I love you, brother. I mean, people can say, oh, I love you. But unless they got that agape love, it's difficult. You can't do it. But they will know we are Christians by our love. Now, that's the way they're supposed to know us. Unfortunately, as Christians, it's up to us to learn how to let that God kind of love out. And that's going to be a real big focus in the coming. We have to build up to this, though. You know, we have to understand how to do this. This is kind of going to be a little different for some of us, I think. Because the Word's very specific about this. But on the other hand, I don't hear much talk about this, even in the church. And since it's our one great, what? Commandment. Don't you think it's worth our time to find out what in the world, how to do this? Now, what is a commandment? Just off the top of our heads here. I heard Kenneth Copeland. Does everybody know who Kenneth Copeland is? He's a preacher on TV.
Yeah.
I heard him say one time, he asked the Lord about that. He says, Lord, what is a commandment? And he said, it's an instruction from me from which there is no retreat, about which there is no choice. Now, that's a pretty good definition. In other words, a commandment isn't a good suggestion. It isn't my idea. God isn't saying, here's a good idea. You want to try loving. You know, that's a great idea. I am love and it works for me. Why don't you try? He didn't say that. He didn't say, I strongly recommend. He said, there is one commandment. You know, I think the church as a whole has never really taken that as a commandment. This is very big with God, this business of love. It used to be when I was recently born again, or even beforehand, this whole idea of talking about love seemed kind of effeminate or something. See, I had the wrong idea of what it was, you know. This kind of touchy-feely, you know. But as I began to understand what this love was and how it's in my heart and how there is a potential in there to let this love out, then I began to see that I had no excuse as a Christian. So anyway, agape love is what God is, true or false? That's true, isn't it, man? True. We are to have this agape love also, and God will give it to us if we pray for it. True or false?
False.
False. That's not how we get agape love. A lot of people say, oh God, help me to love. Oh God, help me have more faith. But that isn't the way we have more faith. That isn't the way we have more love. Faith cometh by how? Everybody here knows that. Hearing. And hearing by the word of God. That's how faith comes. Faith doesn't come by praying for it. Faith cometh by hearing. You want to have faith? Get in the Word of God and read what God's Word has to say about whatever's bugging you. That's how to get faith over that thing. If it's finances, read the Word of God, what He says about finances. If it's kids, read the Word of God, what He says about kids. If it's how to react with your spouse, read the Word of God, what it says about how to react with your spouse. That will build faith in your heart. So, Bill, we already have this agape love also, and God will give it to us if we pray for it. Not. You give it to us when we're born again. We are to love other Christians with agape love. True or false? True. We are to love our enemies too, but not with the agape type of love.
False.
That's false because that's the only kind of love you could possibly love an enemy with, right? The God kind. You can't love him with any other kind. You better have the God kind if you're going to try to love your enemies. You can't do that without God.
God can have all the help you can get.
Yeah.
We can't send them to God and let him sort them out.
Yeah, that's... You know, kill them all and let God sort them out. I've heard that before. That wouldn't be the agape type of love. That would be the what speaking? What part of man would that be? That would be the flesh speaking. Good. Only people who are baptized can have this agape type of love. There's a lot of people that are baptized that aren't born again, isn't that true? I mean, I was baptized as an infant. I grew up in the Catholic Church and they believe in infant baptism. But was I born again? Not until later in my life when I saw the need. God puts this agape love into our heart or spirit when we are first born.
Knows all of them.
Huh?
Knows all of them.
She does, doesn't she?
She does.
When you're born again, it's when you get into Madge. How'd you know all these all? How come you're coming if you know all the answers? All right. God strongly recommends that all people love one another. Is that a false, guys?
Or yes.
Women? It's false. Jesus was the first person to walk in perfect agape love. True or false? That's true. Any person can walk in agape love if they really try. I mean, just...
No, not any person.
No, they can't, can they? What kind of people can?
Christians.
Christians. There you go. Thank you. Christians are the only group of people who can possibly walk in agape love. Well, I'm sure nailing this down, aren't I? True or false? True. This is because you have to have the agape love inside first before you can possibly let it out. True. I mean, that makes sense. I mean, if you need $50, I can't help you if I don't have $50, can I? You come to me and you can beg and squall and whatever thing else, but if I don't have $50, I can't help you. And that's the same way with this agape love. Love demands blank. Action. You'll never find love without action. God so loved that He gave. Walking in love is how Jesus can tell we blank Him and are His blank.
Love
Him and are His
disciples.
and friends. Jesus said that. That's a sobering thing he said in the 14th chapter of John. And if you love me, you'll keep my commandments and you're my friends. That doesn't mean Jesus doesn't consider us, you know, he's mad at us or anything. That just means if we really believe, if we really love Jesus, we can get a little bit serious about this love too. Because this is his commandment. The opposite of agape love is blank. This is something that I didn't realize for a long time. You might get that. You read John 3:16. That was my hint. What is it, Marianne?
Well, I read it, and I think perishing, because that's the end of it.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever should believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
That's the only negative.
Well,
I didn't.
I see what you mean. That wasn't what I was after. In other words, God so loved. What's the opposite of being giving? God so loved to give. Being selfish. I think the opposite, based on this, that God is love. God is not selfish. If you, love demands action. See? So really the opposite of agape love is being a selfish person, putting yourself first. Agape love always puts the other person first. That's what God did when he sent his son Jesus. He put us first. Otherwise, he would have just said, Jesus, you know, I love them, but I love you too. They need you. I've got a plan, but I'd have to give you up. I don't want to do that. I like you right here. I like you right beside me. I love you too much to give you up. God loved us so much, he gave his son. I used to think the opposite of love was hate, but I'm not so sure anymore. I think the opposite of agape love is really selfishness. Based on the definitions of what I see in the Bible. Every time God loved, he gave something. He put us first or something. And that's what love does. Okay. If we walk in the God kind of love, we will automatically fulfill the Ten Commandments. True.
True.
Because every commandment is fulfilled by love. If you love somebody, you're not going to steal from them. You're not going to kill them. You're not going to go after his wife. You're not going to covet his goods. You're not going to lie to him. All those things are fulfilled by walking in love.
What about keeping the Sabbath day? That's having love for God.
Yeah, right. That doesn't. Yeah, you're right. That's love for God. Keeping the Sabbath day. That's one of the commandments, isn't it? Yeah. Honor your father and mother because God said that's what you need to do. And because you love them. If you walk in love, you will honor your father and mother. Right? Diane's laughing. Huh?
Well, it said automatically there.
That's true. What'd you say?
It said automatically there.
Yeah. If you walk in the God kind of love, you're not going to be breaking any of the Ten Commandments, right?
You're going to love your mom and dad.
That's right. And you're going to show them respect and honor. Of course, kids don't always do that. They're not always walking in perfect love, but that's what they should be doing.
They will not.
Yeah. Emphasis on the old or older, right?
No, I was just thinking about that this week. You know, a lot of people think that, you know, they can kind of pick and choose on the commandments.
Mm-hmm.
And that there was somebody that was on TV making fun of the commandments, and they were saying, oh, this doesn't really apply anymore, and they went down the list. And then I was very irritated with me. And I thought to myself, well, you know, that's a lot of people, though, even Christians. They think they can pick and choose.
Well, it aggravates me because there's people out there that don't know the difference, and if they're going to stand there and lie in their teeth like that, they're not.
One's worse than the other.
Yeah, well, see, they put they say this commandment is really important, you need to keep this, but this doesn't mean anything anymore. Well, you know.
What about little white lies?
Uh-huh.
What about those? What are white lies?
Just plain lies.
They're just plain lies.
Black lies waiting to grow up.
Black lies waiting to grow up. You know, the ends does not justify the means to get there. That's very clear in the Bible. It's clear about that. We have to be careful about these little white lies. Well, you know, they're never going to know. It's not going to hurt them, and sparing them a little, better just tell the truth. You know, and you don't have to be completely tactless, and you don't have to say certain things. But on the other hand, if you're going to talk about it, tell the truth.
Well, it's going to be a lot easier.
Yeah, you don't have to have...
something else.
Boy, that's the truth, isn't it? Besides...
They're already playing.
I told you it was a make tag. You're an agitator.
Thank you, Lord.
You know, what's that all about?
Well, aren't we having fun? Ain't the Lord fun?
You know, lying, to me, you know, I thought about this one time. Jesus said Satan is the father of lies. That's the one characteristic that distinguishes, really distinguishes Satan. I mean, he's evil and everything's bad about him. But when Jesus talked about him, says he's a liar, he's been a liar from the beginning, and he's a father of lies. Man, that makes you really want to steer clear of lies, even little white lies. Because I don't want to have, I don't want to be like him. You know? All right. Let's see, where am I? If I don't walk in love, the Bible says my life will profit me nothing and that I am nothing. True or false? True, it says that. That's a sobering thought, isn't it? That nothing I do is going to make any difference if I don't do this one thing. I may have a success in the world. I may make a lot of money. My friends may think that I'm greatest and try to be around me because of who I am looking in the world. But as far as my life really profiting me anything or really being anything in eternal terms, I don't walk in love. I haven't cut it. Love is important, but faith is more important because without faith, it's impossible to please God. True or false? Boy, can't get you guys on anything.
What, would you try him?
Yeah. I gotta tell the truth, I can't lie. In a way, I was just trying to make you think, really. Make you think. No, I was just trying to make you think. You know, without faith, is that true? Without faith, it's impossible to please God? But then love is even greater than...
Love's greater than all of these.
Yes, that's right. I think that's 1 Corinthians 14:1, isn't it?
I don't know what it is, but I know that's on...
Yeah.
Used to be on my wall.
Right.
And it's still on my wall.
It is?
Yes, it is, because I've got praying hands, and that scripture is in the Bible. It stands for prayer.
It says, and now abideth faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Greater than faith. All right, good. Boy, I'll tell you, I haven't tripped up anybody tonight. Well, I shouldn't want to, I guess. The way to get the God kind of love is to do our very best to act like Jesus acted. True or false?
True.
False.
That's the thing we need to do, but that's not the way we get the love.
No, because he gives it to us for free for nothing.
Yes, he does. In the new birth. Shed abroad in our hearts, isn't it? The best way to end war would be to convince the people of the world that they need to walk in love.
True.
I've got false. You're never going to convince the people of the word they need to walk in love. Unless they get born again, that's never going to happen.
Didn't I say job on your hands?
Yes, that's an impossible job. I mean, if it could have worked, it would have worked, but it can't. But a lot of people think that. They say, you hear people in the peace movement say all the time, if people would just sit down and talk instead of fighting all the time, we wouldn't have any war. That's, in theory, you know, okay, that would be correct. But in practical application, it will never, ever happen. Why?
It tells us in the Bible that there's never going to be peace and the Lord comes a second time.
Why is that?
There are too many Maytags in there.
Too many what?
Maytags.
Maytags.
Agitators.
I got it.
Two brothers, wasn't it? That's right.
Huh?
Two brothers in the Old Testament.
Oh, yeah.
That's...
Esau and Jacob. Esau and Jacob. Yeah. Two brothers didn't get along.
Right. And that's where...
Cain and Abel. They didn't get along so good either.
And the what the Muslims or whatever.
Yeah. Right.
Tribes.
Esau split off, and that's where the Arabs came from, the Arab world.
Ishmael.
That's right. I'm sorry. Yeah.
The children of Ishmael.
Esau was the Moabites, wasn't it? But see, the best way to end war would be to convince people of the war, if you could do it. But I guess what I was trying to point out, so in a way it's right, is you can't do that, though. That will never, ever work. Because without the love of God in their hearts, they are incapable of acting in love. Down at the bottom is going to be a selfish motive without God's love. Satan is roaming around this world as a mad dog, seeking whom he may devour. You know, he's here to steal, kill, and destroy. You're never going to have peace in the world with Satan running loose. Right? All right, here's the last one. Not displaying the Ten... We had this in the news. That's why I put it in here. Not displaying the Ten Commandments in public displeases God.
True.
True. False.
False. He doesn't care. Ten Commandments are passed. It's the love law.
You know, it could be either way, I think. But I think it's more... I had more false, because if he'd rather we get born again, then we have his love inside, and we could walk in love, in the love commandment. Just putting them up in a rotunda somewhere isn't going to enable people to walk in love. However, go ahead, Steve, I know what you're thinking. It may make people think about it.
Well, that's not
what they're lacking. Oh, okay.
In the law, aren't they supposed to wear?
Yeah, but that was the old covenant, right?
But love is a fulfillment of the law.
That's true. But did he literally mean they were supposed to wear these things on their heads like the Jews do, do you think?
Well, at that point in time, yes.
I just wonder. I think he really meant just to keep it in your mind and things. I'm not so sure he meant to do that literally, but, you know, I could be wrong about that. He said, keep my law as frontlets, I think it was in King James, before your eyes.
Uh-huh.
You know, and so we have the Jewish table today going around with these things hanging down before their eyes.
Yeah.
Well, now, right? We should keep the Sabbath day, right? Mm. Should we not eat pork too? That was part of the law.
You know what? I've been hearing some Christian doctors, and they say, yeah, that's true. And I go along with it because... there is parasites on
just
even
cook your pork. Don't eat pork.
No. Yes. No.
Now wait.
Yeah.
What was on the sheet that was let down?
Don't make me give up pork.
Who was the sheet let down before?
Peter.
Peter, yes. Right.
Everything. Kill and eat.
What was on the sheet?
He could eat all things.
What's that?
He could eat all things.
Yeah.
Because God didn't make anything unclean.
And he said everything is accepted by God if it's lay before him with the word of God in prayer.
Yeah.
Pray over it.
But
you know?
The whole thing is you can't, how do you pronounce it, rabbinical law, that's what these Christian doctors have said, that you need to, that wasn't revoked.
Let me just say something, and we're not going to discuss it. That is wrong. That has been revoked by the new covenant. Those old things are no longer bondage to Christians to do. These people are absolutely blowing smoke. We don't have to do those things anymore. Now, if a person wants to do it for health's sake, or they think that's fine, but don't put it as a law.
Well, they didn't say that.
Okay.
But they just said that it's just sound principles, because they found that, you know, there's, it's not. It's
okay,
not,
but see,
it's
the,
just,
I understand.
It's just wise.
Yeah.
No.
But to demand, you know, there's no more
demand.
God, you know, we're free now. All we have to do is walk, we're supposed to walk in love. And when we don't, we repent of it and we ask God to forgive us. So I think that last one could be true or false, depending on how you look at it. I think displaying the Ten Commandments is fine if it reminds someone how far short they fall, and, you know, is there any solution, you know, for how am I going to do this? And someone says, you know, have you ever heard about Jesus and what he did for us when you're born again? You know, witness to him about this. Use that as a point to start with or something. But as far as God's concerned about displaying the Ten Commandments, I mean, you know, I think he understands that unless, that's why he said go into all the world, and he didn't say go into all the world and split my Ten Commandments everywhere. He said go all to all the world and preach the gospel. Tell them my son came. Tell them he died. Tell them he shed his blood. Tell them they can go to heaven if they want to. Tell them the sin problem's been taken care of because I sent my son. That's what he wants us to do, right? And then, when you get born again, he puts that love in your heart. And you You're in the world, but you're not of the world anymore because you got God's love in there. We're kind of passing through, but while we're here, we got a job to do.
I heard someone say that it's, you know, fine that they're displayed, but it's more important that they're taught.
And even more important that even then, when they're taught, that they do it.
Yeah.
But then they can't do it unless they're born again, because the Word of God tells in Galatians that the law was only a school teacher to show us how incapable we were of keeping the law, so we'd have something driving us to Christ.
That was the entire purpose of the law.
Right.
To show us how short we fall.
Right. For all of sin, we come short of the glory of God.
What the Ten Commandments in public is because they're under conviction and they don't want to sin.
Right. Yes. Right. Exactly right.
That's exactly right.
It makes them feel guilty.
But I didn't realize it until we started studying this.
Three fathers, one thing in that courthouse, and I think that's because of the conviction.
I've been fulfilled by the law of love. Yeah. See, what the Lord wants is He doesn't want the list of commandments up to make everybody feel guilty. He wants the world to know that their sin has been taken care of. And all they've got to do is tell them they want in on it. He's not beating them down with guilt. He's just trying to tell them, hey, listen, the sin problem's been solved. Now you need to get born again. Yeah, that's a good point, Marge. Thank you. I'm glad that that's becoming clear. Okay, well, I think that's, we finished our homework, and that's the end of this lesson.